Hi, this is Kara from the Pure Rock Shop on WNJR 91.7 FM, Washington, Pittsburgh, and online at WNJR.org. Today we have Great White guitarist Mark Kendall on the line. Hi, Mark. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Well, glad to have you here with us. So there's been a big change to the lineup in Great White since we saw you last. Tell us what it's like having Mitch Molloy fronting the band.
I'll tell you, it's totally incredible. It's completely incredible and happened quite by accident. We've kind of been growing apart of the past couple years. Terry had a lot of outside interest, wonderful singer, great guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, just kind of like a marriage that kind of just goes a little bit south, no big arguments, nothing freaky. But Mitch Molloy, I happened to be looking online, and it just came up in my news feed, this Van Halen story, okay?
Okay.
Now, so I watched that, and then I go, yeah, this is the guy that that sang on our record with the Gang Shouters. And then I had seen him on the cruise. He came on stage with us and kind of sang backgrounds on Once Bit, Twice Shy, just having fun.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't even know this, but Michael Lardy had been kind of looking into him a little bit.
Okay.
So all these guys are kind of not telling me anything, and by just a free coincidence, I was checking this guy out. We weren't really, at least I wasn't totally hunting for a singer at the time yet. But then Michael Lardy sent me a picture from the cruise, and it was just me and Mitch, the picture, and I go, God, that looks, really natural. It just looked like, this guy's been with me my whole life. So I go, I didn't know our agent and Michael Lardy were actually even talking a little bit about Mitch. And I talked to Michael Lardy, and I go, why don't we send him some music and see what he sounds like on our old stuff and maybe a couple new ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so he put his vocals on, and we were just completely floored. I mean, he did it in like a day and a half or something. But it was just amazing the way it came together, and then have the guy be so humble and everything, and he's just a really good guy. But when he gets on stage, he just goes crazy. It really took me back. I go, man, this guy's like all commanding dad and everything. And it kind of lifted us up a couple notches with our energy. And I go, man, this guy's going down. I better show up here. So it was it's been a joy so far. He's done 3 shows. I mean, we're talking early stages here.
Right.
We're thrilled to have him in the band.
So you guys have a pretty packed summer tour schedule. Had you had much time to rehearse with him before you hit the road?
Yeah. Well, he worked on the songs for about, 10 days. And we rehearsed 3 times, big, long rehearsals. And he already had all the lyrics down, no lyric sheets or anything. He knew all the words. And we just kind of that one thing, can you do this and that, So my idea was kind of to learn the songs how they are and then maybe interject some of his personality into it.
Right.
Instead of interjecting his personality into it before he learns it, get me?
Okay.
That's worked out really well, and the fans love him. I mean, it's unbelievable. Rock Me, we played in Washington, and the crowd was like screaming like it was the first time they ever heard it. I was blown away. So obviously, they really like Mitch, and he really knows. He's a natural on engaging the audience.
Mm-hmm.
He's totally natural. He feels comfortable, talking to the crowd. crowd, and so he's a natural front man. And you know, so as far as Terry goes, he does a lot of projects. He's fine. He's gonna just continue doing what he does. You know, he's always been a guy that did a lot of different things, and I know he's gonna do great. So I'm not even worried about Terry.
Sure, sure.
But we're really happy with this change. It's just great. It's just fun.
Well, I've got to ask you, you know, as a longtime fan, I've always talked about, you know, you pulling out songs that you haven't done for a while. And, you know, with Mitch having his own style, do you think you'll pull out anything out of the archives that maybe would be a good fit for his vocals, do something a little different?
Yes, we actually talked about a different ballad to kind of interject in and out with Save Your Love.
Uh-huh.
Called Love and Kind.
Oh, cool.
Because
yeah.
His voice is so sweet around that range and stuff. I could tell by his solo album. I'd listen to some of his music and just, you know, to get a feel for his voice on his own stuff, you know, kind of see, just listen to him a little bit. Listen to him with Van Halen. And I just, you know, I wanted to know about him. I didn't really know, you know, much about him. And obviously the Van Halen thing's been kept a secret forever. I never heard anything about that. So, you know, I was talking to Michael. I go, God, you know what would be a great song for him is Love and Kind. And people used to love that song. We haven't done it for years.
Yeah, that would be great.
There's probably some other ones that we'll try too, you know.
Cool.
We've already talked about a couple other ones. We're getting a feel for Mitch. He's starting to get more comfortable. You know, he just comes flying out there with all that hair and everything. It's crazy. It's pretty fun. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And even in the photos, he looks, he's fitting image-wise as well. You know,
yeah.
He just looks like, looks like one of us, you know?
Yeah, great. Well, you know, we'll have a couple chances to see you guys coming up. There's a show in Clearfield County, which is a couple hours away on August 4th, where you'll be playing with Faster Pussycat and Vixen. And then we have a local club show also at Jurgles here in Pittsburgh on September 2nd. So I was going to ask you.
Great dads. Vixen is great. And Faster Pussycat, you know, they came up a little bit after us in L.A. And
yeah.
They have hardcore fans. People love.
Absolutely. It's always fun to see them on the cruise too, because you know, you never know who's going to show up at their show.
Oh god,
all the musicians come to watch. You know,
they just own that ship.
It's
funny, you know, their following is such like a cult, you know, just with their merchandise, and they've always been, you know, they've always had that harder edge, kind of rebellious in a way, you know, but they're sweet. I know they're pretty good.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're good people. So, yeah, it is, I know what you mean. It is fun having them on the cruise.
Sure. Well, so, you
all
know.
The bands are incredible on the cruise. I can't believe it. I was with Y&T, about three guys from Y&T, and we watched that band D.A.D. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I love them.
Oh, my God. I'm talking Manicetti. We were all in shock. It was so good.
Good. They are. And you
played a smaller place, like a little, kind of a small place, but it sounded incredible.
Right.
Man, they're good. Man, that's a good band.
Yeah, you never know what Stig's going to, what kind of bass he's going to pull out, what kind of creation he has, or costume, or, but very good band.
Guy talking about his bass. I said something about it years ago when they came out with Sleeping the Day Away.
Right.
I go, that guy has two strings on his bass.
Yeah.
What's going on here? That's the coolest thing I've ever seen. And right when I saw him on the cruise, they were straight across from us when we were doing the meet and greet. And I went straight to him, you know, bypassed this whole band. I go, tell me about the two strings, man. It's the greatest thing ever. He said he had to have the neck made special and all kinds of crazy stuff. But yeah, what a cool image that is.
Yeah. Very cool. So, Mark, I wanted to ask you, you know, with the contrast of a club show versus a county fair show, what kind of, you know, audience do you prefer? The intimate, you know, great white headlining show with your fans up close, or playing in front of huge crowds?
Yeah.
You know, we saw you guys.
We haven't really played many clubs in the past maybe 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 a year, and usually we strip it down to like an acoustic thing, which is really fun because we kind of make it like storytellers, like have people ask us anything they want to ask us, and you know, make it more of a just a fun, you know, not so arena serious, you know, rock god thing, you know what I mean? And that's a lot of fun because you get to hear a little bit from the fans. And, you know, they have interesting questions and, you know, they might even share a story or something. So that's a lot of fun to play in small places. You know, it's really funny. I was talking to this somebody the other day about this, how I used to get more nervous with the small interview. Like, if I play for 10 people in my living room, it makes my heart race.
Okay.
But I could go play for 150,000 in Europe and that's doesn't even faze me. I don't know. I guess maybe you're feeling more removed from crowds that are so huge.
Right, right.
You feel like when it's 10 people, they're all like focusing in on your fingernails. And, you know, you just feel like you're under the microscope or something. I remember years ago, I played at this wedding with Michael Anthony from Van Halen.
Uh-huh.
For this crew guy that I knew from Tesla, and I guess he worked with Mike Lampton. So we played at this wedding for like 50 people. I was a nervous wreck. I mean, I got through it, but I was not comfortable. So getting back to your question,
sure.
I like both. I like both. You know, we grew up in the clubs coming out of L.A., so it's... it's fun. I know me being a fan, I mean, I'm the biggest fan on earth, and I like to see all my heroes in small places.
Right, right.
You know, I don't want the nosebleed seat, you know, 3 blocks from the band.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you there.
I want to see what the heck they're doing.
Cool. Well, so one last question for you. What can we expect after the summer tour? A new album, more touring? What's next for Great White?
Yeah. Yeah, we've already talked a little bit about that. We have so many shows, though, that we're not going to really be able to fit it in until 2019. So, yeah, we definitely want to make music with Mitch and, you know, get that all going. And I know it's going to be sweet. You know, Mitch, he has his own studio.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
He's recorded people like Faith Hill and, you know, and Kenny Loggins and all this stuff. So, yeah. You know, a little studio experience. He's a songwriter, so it'll be interesting to see what he brings. You know, he's a musician too. You know, he plays guitar really well, and he plays piano, and you know, he's kind of a music geek, if you will.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see what happens with that. You know, I'd like to hear ideas. You know, we let Terry interject a lot of ideas when he was in the band, and we love to share and all that. You know, if it's good, I usually, you know, I'll say, hey, that's pretty good. Let's work on that. Let's work on that one. But, so it's a lot of fun. And obviously, you know, we're in the early stage of the new marriage, you know, so everybody's all on the pink cloud or whatever. But I can tell that Mitch is just a good guy. He's got a nice family and everything, so. I think it's going to work good with Mitch.
Great. Excellent.
And his fans love him. I mean, yeah. I can't believe it. It was like 99% positive when people heard that he was in the band.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, God, this guy has fans. I've never heard of him before. This is unbelievable. And then I find out he's got like 10 albums out. You know,
right.
He's been on like Jay Leno and all this stuff. I'm going, I must be, you know, living my own world or something. But I guess he's, you know, a lot of people love him, and which is good, you know.
Yeah, he definitely has a loyal following. Well, Mark, it has been great chatting with you as always. We look forward to seeing you on August 4th in Clearfield and September 2nd here in Pittsburgh at Jurgles. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
And
Thank you.
We'll see you on the road.
Yeah, we'll look forward to the East Coast shows. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Absolutely.